We're going to spend some time this month checking in with some of Michigan's parents and their students who are carrying a lot right now. School is in session, and whether you're doing some face-to-face or going all online, there's this brand new set of rules and a whole new way of working that can add up to a lot of additional stress for families already dealing with the pandemic. We're going to begin today with Detroit native Malika Pryor and her daughter, Farah. Malika works in the nonprofit world, and Farah is an eighth grader at University Prep Art and Design. For them, school is online this year. Farah, Malika, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
So, how's it going so far? Is everybody still on 2 feet about this?
I'm doing good so far.
Malika, how about you?
Sure. So we are a pretty full house. We're a family technically of seven, but our eldest is at the University of Michigan. So four of our five lads are in-house right now. And it's busy. However, I will say that I think they are performing that much better this round because they had to navigate sort of that pretty shocking and abrupt shift from being completely and totally in person, going out for track team, getting ready for, winter dance, to being in-house, literally, all day, all the time. So I have to sort of tip my hat to both Farah, who's with us today, and to my older son. They've been doing a pretty good job of self-managing.
Right. Farah, I was curious to know, what are the virtual classrooms like? I mean, how's the school day working out for you?
It's working out pretty well. So our classes are each 105 minutes long. So we'll have while we're online, practically face-to-face conversations. And then at the end of the class, they'll give us like asynchronous time where we just do the rest of the work that we didn't do in class. Mm-hmm. So that they can see how we are individually. And I have 3 classes a day, which is really fun.
Yeah. Do you still feel connected with your friends, even though you're not necessarily in the room together?
Yeah. Most of my friends, we don't really have classes together this year. So it's kind of weird, but we still keep in touch. Also, it's kind of awkward when you have to be in a breakout room with somebody you never really talked to in person or even met.
For sure. Malika, I know you've had some experience with homeschooling before this year, even before last spring. What kinds of things have you done to try to make sure that this kind of learning goes okay for Farah?
With Farah specifically, and with the kids more broadly, what we really wanted to do was make sure that they each had space. So, Farah has an official school setup in her room that, allows her to be with herself and focus in a way that's best suited for her. At least I hope that's how it's working. And for her brother, the same. And then a separate schoolroom for our kindergartner, who is completely traditional, is being traditionally homeschooled this year.
Right. Do you think if school were to restart, would you be inclined to send Farah back?
Nope. I wouldn't. Not now. I am a little concerned because the nature of school is just so incredibly social, and I don't trust teenagers. I watch adults, right, who have to take care of other people with masks under their nose, who wear it as a chin guard, who remove it while passing people, in public spaces where it's very much not outdoors because we're in a grocery store. and I think it's natural for teenagers to want to rebel, to take risks. And we've, unfortunately seen in Georgia and in other spaces, and our schools aren't, they're full. they're the hallways are full. I've been to the school when, you know, they're in passing, and I think it's really, really difficult. It's actually easier for us as a family to contemplate what it means for the kids, at least because they're older. I will say that. I mean, if I had children in elementary school, mm-hmm. or if I had a child who had special needs and really, really required a kind of small classroom hands-on approach, the conversation for me might be a bit different. Because those are bodies of students that benefit so, so much from having that in-person connectivity, or who actually require it in order to be able to grasp their lessons. But having an older middle schooler and a high schooler who are doing, you know, who are walking this virtual path, I feel just a lot more comfortable. And I'm pretty confident that both of them are able to glean what they need to and retain the content that they need to. It might not be optimal, obviously. But I feel much better with them being at home in their rooms than I would than having to sort of navigate what, you know, in person would look like right now.
Farah, so let's pretend you didn't hear anything your mom just said. If school opened back up tomorrow, would you want to go?
I honestly don't know, because there's a lot of, I feel like there's more ups to virtual learning and more cons to in-person learning.
Uh-huh. Do you mean that in terms of health, or just in terms of how school works for you?
Both. I would not want to get sick, because I know that people would want to be closer to their friends, and they would spread germs because the flu will go around and stuff like that. In general, or sickness or cold or something will go around, and something like in a deadly virus, I definitely wouldn't want to go around. So I probably. But I also would like to, like, see my friends in person as well.
You know, about that, I don't know what your experience has been like, but for a lot of people, middle school can be really challenging, especially socially. Do you think that there are some benefits to being at home rather than in a school building? Or is it just more of a drag on the friendships that you do have and are making?
Socially, I'm kind of introverted. I do not like to talk to a lot of people. I don't have a large group of friends either. But I do miss my friends. I just don't like having to have like group projects with somebody who I'm not friends with, who I don't know, and I have to like socialize and try to get to know that person and coordinate plans to do stuff after school and all that, when I could just do it on Zoom and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Malika, what do you think? Do you see there being some benefits for her being at home, or are you comforted as a mother by keeping her sheltered from some of the social stuff that goes on?
I think the short answer is probably yes. There are definitely elements of school that I think are and can be great in terms of those social elements, you know, opportunities to serve. Their eighth grade trip, which is a tradition. I think those are the things that I miss for her. Like, this is the first time she's sort of at the precipice of moving in a significant way from one learning experience to another. I do not consider fifth grade a graduation. And to be honest, I don't think that way so much about eighth either, but there's definitely a real shift in the way that you experience your academic world when you move from middle school to high school. And the thing that I am a little sad about is I'm really not sure like how she'll get to celebrate that and move through that given the circumstances, but just the general day-to-day, that roughness of middle school. Yeah, I'm happy to have her not have to navigate that.
Do you mind telling us how the other kids in your family are doing? You've got one college student and one kindergartner. That's a pretty big range.
Oh man, if only it ended there. So we apparently decided that we would birth children in clusters, my husband and I. So we have three children that are almost literally 2 years, 7 months and a week apart. So that's our sophomore at Michigan. And she seems to be doing pretty well. My almost 16-year-old is the 11th grader, our one and only son, and then Farah, who's in eighth grade. And they all seem to be faring again pretty well. The greatest transition has actually been our kindergartner, who attended a small community school last year. And it was, you know, small, intimate, lovely single, you know, digit kids in classrooms. And then with the pandemic, it just, the way in which the school is structured literally and figuratively just is not suited for kind of social distance learning, that sort of thing. So we knew we were going to have to bring her home. Trying to shop for a school in the middle of a pandemic is
crazy.
Let's just say it's a curious venture.
Right. You know, what we've heard from parents with little ones is it can be really tough on them navigating a school day in front of a screen. How are you managing?
Well, we are taking a completely traditional homeschool approach. So she's not actually in front of a screen, at least not for her formal learning. And I really do just send oodles and oodles of love and strength for parents that have to navigate on screen learning or, you know, a virtual distance kind of situation for their kindergartners, because that's an age group, of course, that thrives so much in the hands-on realm. And that's basically what we do. It's 2 hours of formal instruction. I commit to no more time than that. And once that's over, usually we'll head outside, go into the yard. She's got like little gardening tools. I might be strolling her younger sister and she'll be riding her bike and I'm checking emails, and we just strive to make a discovery of whatever it is. I try to kind of hold on to maybe a little bit of the content that we might have covered, even if there was a show maybe that she watched, because even in the, you know, the sugariest of them, there's usually some element or component of learning. So I just strive to kind of extend the learning experience in those informal contexts, but not to pressure myself or her to sort of have that very formal full day of learning, because for the most part, the content that a mind that young needs, they'll be able to grasp in that 2 hours, and everything else is like, what is the world like?
What are some of the negotiations that the family has made to try to get everybody on as good a footing as you can?
Grace. I think as a parent, I strive to remind myself, although I'm sure I'm not always successful, and I'm sure Farah would agree with me that I'm not always successful. But grace, remembering that we're all in the pandemic, because we were able to get a little bit of time to adjust between March and June. I decided to sort of reframe, and I have the flexibility, fortunately, to do that with the work that I do, but to just sort of reframe my schedule as well so that it could be more conducive to being present for them, striving to do both at the same time. To some degree, you don't have a choice. But if you can give yourself as parent some boundaries, I have found thus far that it makes it a lot easier and far less stressful to navigate all of the needs that the kids have, as well as, you know, my own imperatives as a professional.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Farah, how about you? What's getting you through the days?
Coffee.
We've been talking with Farah Pryor and her mom, Malika, from their home in Detroit. Ladies, thank you so much for speaking with us, and good luck this year. We know it's a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.